We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
.644, 16 before 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's going to be hot today, maybe record heat, just like it was over the weekend. Just miserable, unbearing, press you down into the ground heat. But it's August in New Orleans, and that's pretty much what you get. Tropics have been quiet. Let's hope it remains that way, although now, really, we're getting into the busy time of year in a couple of weeks, at least, and through September. Andy Smith joins us now, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, talking about infrastructure bill and its cost and what kind of agreement has been reached. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little bit confused about this infrastructure bill because I'm thinking if they reach a bipartisan agreement in the Senate with the president, it still has to pass the leadership in both the House and Senate. Then the House has to get on board, and Nancy Pelosi, of course, says she's not unless. So is it a little bit early to know what to worry about what's in that now?
I think there are a lot of hurdles still to remain. I think some of them got cleared in the Senate. The Senate's probably the place where it could be blocked most easily. In the Senate, you still have the amendment process to go through this week. You still have Republicans who are opposed to it, and all they have to do is keep less than 10 Republican votes, and that it'll stop because they won't get cloture in the Senate. So that's there. But in the House, it's not really the Republicans that can do anything about it. There aren't any arcane rules like the filibuster in the House, but it is whether the Democrats can keep their coalition together. And the progressive wing of the Democratic coalition has been unhappy that this infrastructure bill doesn't contain a lot of the things that they wanted in social programs and for the Green New Deal. So there's the idea is that they're going to have this separate bill that comes through with all of that legislation in, but that it's contingent upon passage of this bill. That I don't think is really the case. I think they're going to push that bill through or try to get that bill through regardless of what happens to this infrastructure bill.
It all comes down to politics, naturally. So in the House, they would rather pass something rather than nothing at all, and they think that they would gain more by passing something than they would by holding out for what the far left wing of the party wants?
I think it's going to come down to that, because you think of most congressmen, most of them, are not particularly that ideological when it gets right down to it. And in every state, in every congressional district, the guys that build the roads and the engineers and those sorts of stuff, those guys are very political. Politically powerful. The general contractors are politically powerful, and they are absolutely pushing for this kind of legislation, as well as, you know, the electrical contractors and so forth that they're in, would be involved with the broadband expansion. So there's a lot of people, a lot of jobs in these towns, in these districts that are really up at stake, and they're going to get a lot of political pressure to pass something.
That is an excellent point that I'd not realized. Contractors usually, especially big contractors that work on roads and so forth, they have deep pockets. Those deep pockets turn into contributions. So in exchange for those contributions, you better bring home some projects. That makes every bit of sense to me.
Yeah, it's more than just the contributions. I think a lot of that has to do that these are just big organizations that represent a lot of people and a lot of jobs in these districts. And you don't want to get those people angry at you because, frankly, they can bring votes out on election day as well, not just money, but votes.
Yeah. So what is in the bill that there seems to be agreement on?
Well, we really don't know. It's 2,700 pages so far, and that's not with the final language and not the final amendments and so forth that are put through. But it's going to contain a whole range of things, money for roads and bridges, obviously, but also like $25 billion for broadband expansion and helping people afford broadband internet coverage. It's going to have money for airports, money for, a lot of money for trains, for both passenger rail and regular rail, transportation rail. So it's got a whole range of different things. It's not one thing. The one area that's going to be interesting, or it's important to remember that a lot of this stuff was already kind of in the works to be pushed through. It isn't like this is all new money or it's all new projects that people have come up with. These things get worked on for a long time. But what happens with an instance like this is that a lot of other stuff that people have been hoping to get through gets added on because they know this is going to be a very popular bill to get through. It's been divisive so far, but typically these sorts of infrastructure bills are very popular, bipartisan, in a bipartisan way, because I think everybody in Congress likes to have another bridge or something named after themselves back in their district.
Absolutely, or at least their name on a sign, right, when a project is going up. 6:50 and a half now. We'll take a break, come back. I want to talk about messaging on COVID and what's going on with the CDC and the White House and the partisanship involved there with the Delta variant and masking, and here we go again. 6:50 and a half, time for traffic, WWL. 6:55, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. At least in terms of bipartisanship, it's nice to know that this administration is kind of screwing up, in my opinion, the messaging as far as COVID goes, as did the previous administration. It seems as though there would be a lot simpler way if you look at it from a branding standpoint or a sales standpoint or a campaign, which is what this is, to get people to do things. There's got to be a better way than this. Andy Smith is our guest, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. It doesn't seem to be a lot better than it was last administration, is it, Andy?
I don't think so, and I think part of the reason is that we've got our experts in Washington, the CDC, other health experts, have not seen this before, so their message to the politicos is changing. The difference is that if you're a science in science, you kind of recognize that happens, that you aren't always sure, and you're presented with something new and different, that you leave room for you to change your mind. But politicians like to speak in absolutes. They say they've fixed something. They've done it. They've turned the tide. They like to have those sorts of proactive, positive statements. That just hasn't happened with this. And it's gotten the Biden administration in the same position that the Trump administration got into, in that they are looked at as changing their mind, not being consistent, not doing as they say sometimes. And it's the confusion that's, I think, the real problem. If you would just admit that, look, we don't know everything. We're not experts on this thing. This thing's going to change. We'll be a lot better. But saying that you fixed it is never a good spot to be in when you don't have control over whether it's fixed or not.
First thing I would do is have one person speak for all government agencies, whether it's the CDC or the I can't think of the other one right now, the major health organizations. It seems like we have too many voices. I guess, Andy, I'm looking at it as a campaign, which it is in a way, is it not, to get people to do what you want them to do?
It is a campaign. You've got to get people vaccinated. That's really the big thing. And there's both people on it's not just Trumpsters that are not getting vaccinated. There's a lot of people who aren't getting vaccinated from various reasons. And the people who aren't vaccinated, by and large, are younger, and they're harder to convince that they're going to need to get vaccinated. These are the people driving around without seatbelts on. If you're 25 years old, you think you're going to live forever. And that's just a difficult challenge for with that group of that population group to get them to do much of anything when it comes to their own health. When you get older, you kind of figure out that things aren't going to the wheels are going to start to spin off the body as you get older, and you take better care of yourself. But when you're young, think of all the dumb things that we did.
So what advice would you give them in terms of running a campaign if the campaign is to get people vaccinated?
Well, I think you really have to take into account why the reasons people aren't getting vaccinated. And I think one of the bigger reasons that we've seen in our polling is that people think they've already had the virus. Why should I get it when I've already had it? Doesn't that make me immune to it, essentially? You have to address that. And I think that's particularly important for young people because they're the ones who are most likely to have gotten it and not had a severe reaction to it. But just to, I think just pointing out to them over and over and over again that, you know, you really have to get this, not just for yourself, but for other people as well. And I think that it's important to have your doctor talk with you about it, but it's again, with these young people, it's a very, very difficult messaging challenge.
And then you have people feeding into that. So this is going to be around for a long time. I don't see it ending anytime soon. I wish it did, but...
Viruses are usually 2 to 3 years when these things hit, and we're in year two.
So settle back. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate your time.
Good to talk to you.
You bet. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.